What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
To a little bit delayed to meet me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the bat, at C70, and with me, as always, is Alan Medlock from the Redbird Daily and at a Medlock 1. Alan and I got together Friday night like we normally do and recorded the episode like we normally do, but somewhere in the whole process, my side of things didn't record, or at least most of it didn't, and while that is usually going to make for better radio, when you can't hear me, it still made it a little weird, when, you know, Alan just sat around with dead air for a while and then responded. didn't know that, you know, if you'd like that or not. So here we are Monday night, and trying to recapture a little bit of what we talked about on Friday with a little bit more information. Not a whole lot, but we do have the fact that the Cardinals, went out and split the series with Pittsburgh. They're sitting 3.5 games out in the division right now. And Alan, before we get into the rotation and before we get into the bullpen, which are the biggest topics that we really need to cover, what is your feeling on this team? I mean, as I said last night on Gateway and some of my posts today, you know, months ago when John Mozeliak did this big press conference and was supposed to shake things up, the Cardinals were 4.5 out. You know, coming 2 months later, 2.5 months almost now, they're 3.5 out. And it doesn't, you know, even though they've made some ups and downs in that time period, it just feels like they're kind of, you know, magnetically attached to that same type of deficit.
Yeah, and it's that was what's kind of disappointing. I was thinking about this yesterday when we went ahead and decided to reschedule, is the fact that the thing that I had kind of hung my hat on this whole time, that they may have a chance to get back in. And they're not necessarily out right now, but they hung their hat on their starting pitching. Well, two-fifths of that are now compromised, and, you know, Wainwright's probably, I'm never going to say that he's out for a while, because if he listens, we'll probably hear about it. But he's out a couple weeks. Probably I would think that's probably to do on that, and then Leak, who just can't seem to get anyone out. And I know that you said that he had a little bit of tough luck, and that's going to happen to him. But a lot of balls have been hit hard, and that's a little. You know, I think they get a little break in the scheduling. But to answer your question, I really don't know if they're much different than we thought they were in the middle of the season. And I don't know. Nothing will surprise you. I don't know if there's anything that will surprise me with this team at this point.
And that's fair. I mean, this is a team that has given us pretty much everything this year. I mean, we're looking at a team that's just barely over 500, but has got a 8-game winning streak and a 7-game winning streak under their belt. It's a team that at one time was, 7 or 8 games under 500. We've seen offensive droughts. We've seen great pitching. We've seen bad pitching and slugging offense. I mean, you just never know. Now, the Cardinals, you're right, do have a weaker schedule. I think that as of right now, the only teams that they face that are over 500 right now are the Brewers and the Cubs the rest of the way. So that's nice. But I don't think the Cubs schedule is much worse. I mean, honestly, the Cardinals are playing, I think starting like September 8th or 9th, they're within the NL Central the west of the way. And I think the Cubs are a very similar situation. I think a lot of NL Central matchups at the end, and you know, frankly, the NL Central's not all that good. We've talked about that all year long. So, you know, talking about the schedule, I don't think is the big advantage that maybe some people do. The Cardinals, like you said, two guys in that rotation are either out or maybe should be out. Let's talk about Adam Wainwright. You know, we talked about him a little bit last time. You know, I was able to see him the game that I was up there when he faced the Braves. We saw him against Pittsburgh, and it's obvious something was wrong. I mean, no velocity. He got by against the Braves with some control. He didn't have that with Pittsburgh. And now he's on the disabled list. And I know, the Redbird Rants guys are still smarting a little bit from Wainwright's attack on them and their post, but I think there is at least some relevance to their idea there that, you know, we're talking about, you know, resting for 2 weeks and then maybe he can work his way back and maybe that works. But I think there's at least a, you know, I don't know, 50% chance, 40% chance, maybe a little bit less, that we don't see Adam Wainwright again this year. I don't feel like this is a career ending thing or anything like that, but it does feel like there's a possibility we won't see him. And then what? I mean, is Luke Weaver enough to take that spot without any real fallback?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, the last two starts really looked like it was much damage than they let on to and reported. But I'm willing to see how it goes in 2 weeks. And all signs point to this being a little bit longer than that. You know, that to me, that it right. And 2 weeks puts you with zero time to rehab. So working your way back is going to be almost impossible. So he's going to get the benefit of the doubt and probably get another start out of it. But I'm just not convinced. Option than Weaver right now. I mean, we both have said on the show that we think that Weaver's ready. You know, he's done just about everything he can to get the call. So, you know, maybe that's, you know, if he's ready, he takes Leak's spot at that point. You know, but I'm not super confident that he comes back and pitches the same way he did on that 4 or 5 game stretch that he had in July where he pitched really well. You know, it's a downside of the career type situation. Oh, you really don't know what pitcher you're going to get back. I mean, I know the severity was worse on Halliday, but that ship sailed pretty quick whenever he got injured. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's a hair type situation, and I'm not so certain that at this point it's just not better to let Weaver run with it and see where that takes you. You know, I think that there's maybe a little bit of emotional leader in Wainwright, but you know, I I don't know. I mean, it's just a year-long head scratcher is just going to seem to continue to happen.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, it's not like this is a dead arm thing. It's not like he's just, you know, hit some fatigue. I mean, he's talking about stuff in his elbow, if what it sounded like. And I don't know. I know that it's somewhat easy to get confused between him and Trevor Rosenthal when you start talking about these injuries because they came around at about the same time. But it felt like there was something in his elbow that wasn't letting him go all the way. And again, I may be mixing him up with Trevor Rosenthal, and I'll admit that, but there was some sort of physical thing. It wasn't like he was just, you know, just not getting any life on his pitches. There was some sort of physical hindrance. And, you know, I'm not a doctor. If they think rest and recovery will work, then I guess there's at least a chance of that to happen. But it feels to me that when there's something like that in there, whether it may be bone spurs or something of that nature, it just doesn't, it feels like, you know, maybe he'll come back and have a good start, but it's just going to flare back up again real quickly. So, you know, that's the case. But at least with Adam Wainwright, you have that option. You know what you can do with him. You can put him on the disabled list and let Luke Weaver pitch for a couple of weeks. The problem becomes that Mike Leake is pitching probably even worse than Adam Wainwright is, but doesn't have the physical issues to blame it on. As of right now, and we have not heard anything after last night's game, but I know before his last, you know, somewhere middle of last week, you know, the Cardinals, you know, basically came out through, I think, like Jennifer Langosh and others and said, he's not hurt, he's going to make his next start. And he did, but it wasn't any better than the other ones. And, you know, we're talking about a guy that's had an ERA that's now probably over 6 since the beginning of June. He's not even going 5 innings a start over his last, I think, 5 or 6 outings. You know, which puts even more pressure on the bullpen, which we'll talk a little bit about in a little bit, but doesn't need extra pressure. But I mean, what do you do with Mike Leake? If he's not hurt, it seems like there's really nothing else you can do but have to run him out there.
Yeah, I would love for there to be an option ready. They don't seem to be ready to pull the trigger Kind of to throw a question back at you. I think this stretch that he's going through is worse than Waka's, when we really thought Waka was headed for the bullpen. And you know, that seemed to be close. How close, I don't know. And I don't know if any of us really will. You know, we speculate that he was a start away from happening. I really thought they would question yesterday's start for Leak, and that it was never brought up. I don't know if the injuries may have shelved that a little bit, you know, with Wainwright and Rosenthal. If not, but you know, it makes a lot of sense to maybe rest him a little bit, maybe use that 10-day. But I just don't think that's the plan. I don't know. I don't think it goes back to one of my theories that they just don't like to embarrass the veterans. So I don't know. There seems to be options, but I just don't think they want to pull the trigger on any of those. So, you know, I don't know. It's kind of a searching for answers type situation, and it just seems a little too late to be doing that.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time of year where you want to have some answers to those things.
Yeah.
I pull up Michael Walker's game log, and from mid-May through the end of June, which is where he was really, you know, he was going out there and basically giving you four innings, if that. He had a 6.89 ERA through 31.1 innings over seven. And he came out of that a little bit. That's a little bit worse. I mean, he had a 900 OPS against him. I think that's a little bit worse than Mike Leake, and I'll pull up his numbers just to see over this stretch.
Yeah.
But it's not that far off. I mean, that's very similar. It's just that Leake, for whatever reason, I mean, and I don't know if it's a good thing or not, it typically goes a little bit longer than that. I mean, he's got some games where he goes five, you know, maybe five and a third. Of course, he's still got that seven-inning game against the Rockies that really stands out now because it doesn't make any sense compared to the rest of his stuff.
Very true.
So I don't know. Let's see. From the beginning of June to the last night's game, yeah, he's got a 7.24 ERA, 9.67 OPS against, and he's gone 41 innings, which would be basically four innings to start. So that stretch is very, very comparable to what Michael Walker had, but you're right. There's the difference between, I guess, because we've seen Michael Walker in the bullpen before, and it felt like Michael Walker was doing pretty well, you know, like first time through and then getting beat up later on. And of course, different contract. It feels like Michael Walker to the bullpen made more sense than Mike Leake to the bullpen. I don't know. I think it would be interesting to go ahead and move him, because as I've said, I had said to Tara, I don't remember if I said it on the show or not, but the Cardinals need that long man that they always have had and stashed away in the garage that they never actually use. Now that they need one, they don't have one. And maybe Mike Lee could be that guy. It's, you know, maybe he'd have a different approach coming out of the bullpen and not on a regular rotation, but yeah, I just can't see them doing that. And if he can't pitch any better, you wouldn't want him coming out of the bullpen except in a game that's already lost. And we've got guys for that. We got Brett Cecil. We've got, you know, Sung Hwan Ho. I mean, guys that we don't want to see unless it's a 6-run lead.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, this whole conversation is very frightening because this is what I thought would be the strength at this point in the season to be able to, you know, save runs, not, I thought the offense would be weaker because they still lack that huge bat. Maybe not with the young right now, but I thought this would be a strength, and it's just not. And it's a mystery. And I just wish there was an easy answer on how to clear it up. And even to go into the bullpen conversation a little bit, there's just no hammer now. You know, it just feels like the guys are searching for roles. So I don't know. It's really a trying time, and you kind of lose confidence pretty quick when you see that the one strength that you had perceived would be there for the team is definitely not at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, we'll get into that bullpen issues later, but, you know, if the rotation could give you seven innings, six and a third, you know, 6 to 7 innings of solid ball most nights, I feel like that would solve a lot of problems as well. I mean, it's not going to be everything. The Cardinals, you know, still have the most games, 22, 23 games this year that they've had a double digit lead. That would be really bad, but you know, multiple yeah, run lead that they've blown, two runs or more. I don't remember how many times they've blown those kind of leads, you know, in the eighth or ninth inning. But you know, if Carlos Martinez is going seven and giving up two, if you know, Lance Lynn is doing 6 and 3, you know, things like that, You know, and if Mike Leake could do, you know, even something, obviously he wasn't going to do what he did in April and May. We knew that. But even if he could come back to some sort of his league, you know, career averages, you know, with the resurgent offense that we've seen just now, that would probably be enough as well. And really, he could, if he could eat, you know, 6 to 7 innings. But we're just not seeing it right now. And, you know, I don't know what that answer is. It's just, it's very interesting. I don't know if it's interesting, but it's interesting, concerning, whatever, that this isn't even seeming to hit the radar. I mean, every once in a while you'll see Bernie write about it, or you'll see a couple of people, but the club isn't saying anything about it. And, you know, I guess if he's just bad, you don't say anything, because you don't want to say, well, Mike Leake, he just sucks. You know, I mean, if Mike Matheny comes out and says that, you know, that's kind of a downer for the guy. You know, at least if he's injured, there's something to blame it on. So, I don't know. It's just very, I mean, it's really weird not to hear anything about this and not having any real concern about it. And I guess, you know, somewhat it's been overshadowed by either good offense or other issues, and people aren't as talking about it as much, officially. And obviously Twitter and all those, they're all over it, don't get me wrong. But I just don't know. I just think, unfortunately, he has to be out there. Now, I would, given the way the Dodgers have used their disabled list, where if somebody sneezes wrong, they go on the 10-day DL,
mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, putting Mike Leake on the DL with arm fatigue or upper respiratory problems or whatever it is, even if it's just to make him miss one start or two starts, even if it's just something to let him reset, it doesn't hurt to do that, I don't think. You know, obviously you've already got Luke Weaver up, and maybe if he wasn't, they would do that. You know, you would have to maybe add somebody to the 40-man roster. You know, or you could bring up a John Gant, although I don't think anybody's really excited about that. But, you know, obviously most of us want to see Jack Flaherty the way he's been pitching in Memphis. But do you add him to the 40-man just to make a start or two? You know, when you don't have to in the offseason. That's not the cardinal way, if you will. They don't typically add people to the 40-man until they really have to. So I don't know that they would do that. And, you know, is John Gant better than Mike Leake right now? Well, probably. But is he enough that it's worth, you know, doing finagling? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. I think that it would go back to the past least resistance with Gant, you know, and just to make that start. And I think a lot of people would just love for somebody else to be on that starter line other than Leake at this point.
Yeah.
And I agree wholeheartedly with you that, you know, teams have utilized this 10-day DL for whatever reason they needed to. You know, Matheny will rest guys pretty regularly. In regular lineup fixtures, he'll rest for that mental reset day. Well, what's the difference? You know, miss one start with Leake, that would seem to be that mental makeup, that mental break day that you may need just to reset and figure some things out. And you got a guy that could come up pretty clearly in Gant that could make that start. Yeah, I think we would love to see Flaherty in one of those. I would like to see him in a situation to where it's kind of like the Reyes last year. Like, you know, he comes up, makes that emergency start, then goes to the bullpen and solidifies that back there. That seemed to make sense. We get the first, get the first glimpse of him, and, you know, he could be a shot in the arm for the ball club, but that just doesn't seem to be an option. It may come out of thin air when it does happen, but, you know, I don't know. I still think there's an easy option. There's one that may need some finagling, but they obviously have guys that can do it. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there's just been lack of talk, which, you know, they are a pretty tight-lipped organization. We've talked about that before, but, you know, you're running out of time to kind of work this out in a big league game. So, you know, kind of goes back to that theory of, you are where you are, and let's see where we finish out with it instead of making a lot of moves, which is, you know, another thing that kind of makes you nervous for the remainder of the season, though, especially when you're only 3.5 out after playing poorly. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I mean, me personally, I would like to see one of those moves. I don't know how many starts it'll take for that to happen.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking through Memphis's rotation now. For the fact that they won, like they pointed out, they won their 84th game today. They have like 13 games left, and they play 20 games less than the Cardinals do, and they'll probably wind up with a better record than the Cardinals will this year. I think that's just outstanding, but they're not really doing it. I mean, there's some pitching numbers. I mean, Flaherty's obviously good. Luke Weaver, who's already up, has some good numbers. you know, John Gantzman in the starting rotation, he's been tolerable, a 3.82 ERA. You know, about a little less than a strikeout an inning, a hit whip of 1.29. It's not too bad. You know, if you have to bring him up, he does have big league experience, but he's also not likely to set the world on fire. You do wonder where Daniel Ponce de Leon would be if he hadn't been hit by that pitch or that line drive earlier in the year, because obviously he's been out the rest of the season and he won't be back till next year, but he was off to such a good start that if he'd kept that up, you know, maybe he's in this conversation. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting to look at the numbers for the Memphis guys, and as well as they're doing, I don't know how well they translate, except for Flaherty, who's been so great. But, and I guess that really depends. You know, are the Cardinals planning on bringing up Jack Flaherty after Memphis's playoffs are over? If they are, then they might as well go ahead and add him to the 40-man and bring him up now. If they're not, you know, if they would like him not to be on the 40-man until sometime next year, then, and you know, I guess they're not going to. I think that might be a little short-sighted, but maybe that's them playing the long game. And that may be them saying, look, you know, we're going to do stuff for this team, but we're not going to mortgage, you know, an option year on a guy that we might need one, which I don't know that they would need 3 years of options on Jack Flaherty at this point in his career, but maybe they will. They're not going to mortgage that for a team that's, you know, iffy. I mean, if it was the difference between, you know, if they were tied with the Cubs, you know, and playing well and looking like they had a real good shot, that might be a different story. But, you know, here it is. They've slipped back 3.5, and it may be again where the Cardinals front office is like, we're going to ride this team, but we're not necessarily going to invest in it.
Yeah, that's what I'm really afraid of. That is the mindset right now. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem fair, but that's their rebuilding plan. And, you know, maybe in a year we're going to be like, hey, we're so glad that that happened because they're loaded, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know, I don't know. I was going through the 40-man options and mm-hmm. things that, you know, I'm not – I didn't dig deep into Flaherty, but I was just kind of looking at some guys that – I mean, I would think Mejia and Valera are both – 40 man and be protected in the Rule 5. You know, that's mm-hmm. a couple spots I would assume maybe open. And, you know, Myers may be in that same boat. So, you know, to look in the long run, I mean, there could be. Martin was a, you know, he was a big league free agent signed this year. He's in Memphis and he's on the 40. I mean, that would surprise me if he's back. So there would seem like there'd be some room to make for a little bit of movement on it. Probably more of a let's see what happens in Memphis and see if they win it before we, you know, we make one of those moves and call him up. You know, that may be a big portion of it. You know, they've loaded, they're loaded, they've done their thing, and that may be the deciding factor overall when you say, now that you mention it.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals have obviously, and they've always put a big premium on these guys winning in the minor league, so they have an idea of what they can win in the big leagues. I mean, that's when Tara talked last night about Luke Voit perhaps going down when they, you know, activated Stephen Piscotty, you know, it made a whole lot of sense for so many reasons, but one of which was so that he could play in the playoffs with the team that he helped get there, enjoy and experience that and be ready to go. And so it wasn't, I mean, and that's what happened today. They sent him back down, and activated Piscotty. So yeah, I mean, there is an emphasis on that, and I'm sure they would like to see Jack Flaherty pitch in the playoffs there. But, you know, again, if you feel like you've got a shot to win at the big league level, you have to take it there. Because that's what matters. I mean, minor league titles are important and they're nice, but they're not the ending. And I know that's what you're not saying that, but,
you know,
I think the organization, you know, factors that in as well. And it's, you know, it should be a tiebreaker. It could be a tiebreaker, but, if there's that real need at the big league level, then they got to fill it. So, I don't know.
And you're right. That's, like to me, I know that we've always talked about this, and sometimes I can be down, not necessarily down. I just think that Martinez is that one step away from being an ace. Mm-hmm. To me though, if you get into a playoff series, he's so good that if he were to find that gear, kind of like a Bumgarner type situation, he could carry you. You know, and you know you've got a Lynn that's going to battle. You just never know if you get in. I think that when you, as long as these guys are on the roster, your Martinez. I mean, never. I would love to say Rosenthal, but that's not likely to be the case, at least for a year, I would assume at this point. But you just think that you would have to take your chance, you know, in a series of beating some teams. So yeah, I agree. I mean, I want for the people of Memphis and for the organization, for those guys, I would love to see them win it. But man, it just seems like you have enough that if you could sneak in, you could probably be a lot better than teams give you a chance than people would give you the credit for it, basically.
Yeah, it just depends on what team shows up, you know? Honestly, that's just the biggest thing.
Very true.
This team has the ability to beat it. I mean, the Cardinals are 3-4 against the Dodgers this year. I mean, there are not too many teams that beat the Dodgers three times. And they played the Cubs close. They played a lot of these teams that's good teams, very close. They can play with those guys. I just know they can do it consistently. And, you know, the problem becomes you run up, Carlos Martinez against a Clayton Kershaw. And I know the Cardinals have been able to beat Clayton Kershaw in the past, but if you don't, then you've kind of wasted your shot. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
I don't know how that all works out. Now, you know, again, well, we've talked a lot about the rotation. Let's move on over to the bullpen a little bit because, you know, even if you got to the playoffs, I think it would be more heart-wrenching to lose these games in the, you know, eighth and ninth inning, and there's a very good chance that they would. Trevor Rosenthal out probably for a very long time. I know that the Cardinals are supposed to get a second opinion some point in time this week. Have not heard about it yet, but it just, everything that so far we've heard feels like Tommy John. And if so, he'll be out till, you know, I think you'd be lucky to have him back this time. I know Zach Duke just made a fairly quick recovery, but I feel like Rosenthal with the speed and he already has some command issues as well. I'd be surprised if he was back before September of next year. So you pretty much wipe him out for next year. You've got some guys like Brett Cecil who you can't really trust. I mean, he'll come through sometimes, but you're scared. You've got a guy like Sung Wan Oh who just cannot face left-handed pitching, and we've talked about that numerous times. You've got a guy, Matt Bowman, who's very consistent, but he gets pitched every day, and, you know, he's already more appearances than he had last year, and we still got a month to go. You start wondering about what the usage is going to do there. There's just a lot of questions out there in that bullpen, and I don't know if one arm is the answer.
No, that's and we talked about it a little bit Friday night. Like, of course, they got that we didn't put out, but that's something they greatly miss is. When we were talking about Myers, well, we knew that Myers was going out by the time we'd even recorded, you know, before the show on Friday night. If you remember, I said they need someone that has strikeout ability. That's a lot of the problem. They don't have they don't have any guy that they can bring in when that's desperate for a strikeout where you feel like it's overpowering someone. And I think that's really going to hurt them. I never felt like Oh was that guy last year, and he's definitely not this year. So I don't know. I would think outside the box on this, and like I said, it would take a lot of 40-man finagling, which they just don't seem ready to do. But I would go get Hudson, and I'd go get those guys that are high 90s guys that can come in and in short doses do what they did with Rosenthal and really Martinez when they came up. They came up and said, hey, you go and strike guys out. You know, we're going to put you in the bullpen. Your job is to get these guys out in these high leverage situations. And I thought that may be kind of some outside of the box thinking on these promotions to try to go down and just get strikeout guys. Cause the bullpen, they don't have one. You know, it's all almost pitch to contact. And in those late inning situations, that seems to always burn you. I mean, I like the fact that you have the Maness a few years ago that I think is kind of developed into another Bowman type situation where you have those guys that are down in the zone that can get ground balls for you. A lot of times they find the hole, and a lot of times, you know, just that's how the game works. They find a gap, you know, in the outfield. And they just don't have the big strikeout arms, and I think that's what they greatly miss. I wish they would bring down some options and roll the dice with that and say, okay, we need guys that can come get guys out quickly and, you know, not have to worry about, you know, the luck of the, you know, your batted ball luck. They missed that. I think that's really going to hurt them. That's why I thought that Rosenthal taking over the closer role again instead of bouncing around like they had forever kind of solidified the bullpen, because then everybody found their role. Him being a hammer in the back, I mean, the strikeout is his power pitching, and they just don't have it. So I think they're going to miss him in more ways than one.
Yeah, I think so. You're right. Having that arm is huge, especially in the playoffs. I mean, when you get into short series, I mean, you've just got to be able to blow people away. And that's why the best teams do that. And that's why the Cardinals, you know, did well when they had Rosenthal back there, when they've had other arms that can dial it up. Now, you can be effective, obviously, with other pitches, but you're right. You've just got to be able to, with a runner on third and one out, get that strikeout. And they don't have that arm right now. You know, as much as I love Tyler Lyons, he can be nasty on lefties, but he's getting them out with, you know, off speed stuff and location and, you know, a nasty slider or whatever, but he's not, you know, bringing just pure heat or anything like that. And he may be the closest thing that they have to that out there.
Oh, I think he's the best, but I agree. I think he's the best pitcher in the bullpen. And, you know, not to take this in another direction, I don't think he gets a lot of the credit. I really thought that he was pushing for starts a couple years ago. So I think last year his knee was probably hurting him more than let on, especially the prolonged rehab on that. You know, had to have several procedures. So, but yeah, you're right. I mean, he's the one guy that can go out there and get outs in by striking guys out. And he's kind of the only thing close to a hammer that you do have.
Yeah. And I mean, but. Yeah, I just, you know, like I said, nobody is bigger on the Tyler Lyons bandwagon than I am, but, I just can't see him being that closer. So, you're right, but, you know, do you go down and get a Rowan Wick who is, you know, he's not pitched that much in Memphis yet, and what he has not been that good, but he does have a big arm.
Yeah.
You've got a guy down there in Mark Montgomery, who's a guy that they signed, I think, in this offseason. Who has over a strikeout at inning. And I don't know much about him. I should have, maybe this week I'll try to ask Kyle in our segment a little bit more about him, but it feels like he could be a guy that to come in. And, you know, I don't know about, we saw them bring up Josh Lucas, who has 65 strikeouts in 56 and two thirds innings. Wait. Yep. That's right, Line. I was making sure I was looking at him and not Ryan Sheriff, but, so he struck it out a batter an inning. So in theory, he's got some good stuff. You need more than that, because right now, like you say, or we talked about, there's just so many guys that if it's a one run game, if it's a two run game, you don't really want to see them, because it's very likely it's not going to stay a one run or a two run game. And you know, when you've got a dicey rotation and a dicey pitch, a bullpen, it gets hard to believe that this team can put together enough to make that run against a team like the Cubs that's pretty good, you know. And even though they've struggled at times themselves, you know, you gotta chase them down, especially now that you had that tie and then it's gone. To do that with, you know, you'd probably need the 2015 pitching staff right now to really make a run, and this is far, far from it.
Yeah, and that's we really haven't even. I know that we were talking about the bullpen. We really haven't even touched on the fact that Waka hasn't pitched really well, you know, his last couple of starts. And it's kind of a perfect storm of everything falling apart here at the wrong time, you know, maybe poorly phrased, but it just kind of seems like that's what's happening. You know, you don't have a lot of confidence in anybody on the mound other than Martinez, and he still has a few of his first inning problems, and Lynn. And, you know, you can't expect Lynn to go 7-8 innings every time. So I don't know. It's more of an anger of, gosh, we know they're better than this, to where it's like, okay, what's going to be the final straw? It feels like they're that close now to where they may even end up behind Milwaukee if they don't start playing much better. And then you look at the standings though, and, you know, there's 3.5 and 4.5 out of the wild card.
Yeah.
And, you know, Arizona and Colorado's not playing well. So it goes back to this, up to where are they going to make this run, and can the organization put the right pieces together to do so? and I just don't know if they're ready to do the roster. Roster flip, as in some of the 40-man changeover to make that happen. I mean, I don't know. It's really tough right now, and you know, maybe they can beat up on San Diego and Tampa Bay and make up a couple games and be in a little bit better spot. But then that ominous road trip that I've worried about, you know, for the past month and a half of the West Coast after the two games in Milwaukee, that kind of looms large right now, and I just don't feel as optimistic as I have most of the season.
Yeah, I will say it's going to be very interesting to play the Giants, who yesterday were eliminated from the postseason. I mean, as bad as our year has been, you know, the Cardinals are still playing ball. The Giants cannot go to the postseason, you know, partly because everybody else in that division has been so good. I mean, the Dodgers have been outstanding. The Giants are bad, so they're what, like 35, 40 games behind the Dodgers and about another 15 or 20, behind the wild card team. So they're out of it. And that's really crazy to think. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. You know, when the Cardinals are playing them, are they looking at a lot of minor league guys, especially since rosters will expand by then? You know, are they, you know, just playing out the string? Are they trying to, you know, show some fight? I don't know. That's going to be very interesting to see. You're right. Looking at the Cubs schedule, you know, the Cubs play the Reds and the Phillies over this time while the Cardinals are playing the Padres and the Rays. And I know the Reds split with the Cubs last week, in Wrigley, but, you know, that's a little bit dire. I mean, the Reds could play them tough, but the odds are they're going to win 4 of 6. Which means to make up any ground, you got to go 5-1. Against the Padres and Rays, and that, you know, asking for that is a difficult thing. I want to get back to Michael Walker before, though. You did mention to him, last two starts, you're right, total of 9 innings, total of 9 runs. Before that, he was doing fairly well. He hit a little bit of a bump, but for the most part, he was looking much better. How much do you think the rain delay played into this last start?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, he came out and, you know, gave up his 5 runs, but they all came in that first inning right afterwards. And to me, it feels like if there was a decent bullpen, he wouldn't have come back out.
Oh, I agree with that. I was shocked that he did come back out. You get into that, you know, 30 to 45 minute delay, then it's kind of iffy bringing somebody back out. You get into an hour, it's doubtful. You go into 2 hours, though, and it's almost unheard of, and both starting pitchers came out. Yeah. That's what surprised me. And with Walker's history of this, of the, you know, the mystery shoulder that you just don't know how long it's going to hold on, I was really surprised that he came back. And you may be onto something on that. It may have been because they didn't have any other option, which is scary. But yeah, I was surprised that he came back out, and I do think it played a part. Not to make excuses, mm-hmm. but yeah, that inning was terrible. I mean, it was a batting practice inning. You know, he actually kind of settled down after that, but that first one back was pretty rough. Even a little bit deeper than the rain delay, I'm surprised they let them start on time, and I'm surprised that knowing that was coming, that they went ahead and started Walker. I wish he would have pulled a La Russa and started somebody else and just to see how it worked. But, you know, that was another one of those. I was just surprised that the guys came back out. Both managers did it. And, it was ugly. I mean, I have to think that played a factor.
Yeah. I wrote that today in my blog when I was doing the recap. It would have been nice to have, La Russa do what he did a few years ago, which was, you know, start Kyle McClellan and then the rain came and then brought out, it may have been even Michael Walker. I can't remember. No, Walker wouldn't have been around for La Russa. I don't know who he brought out for that. I can't remember who that was. I don't know if it was a Carpenter starter, whoever it was. Maybe a Kyle Loesch. Anyway, the real starter came out after the rain delay.
For some reason, it does seem like a Carpenter, but yeah.
But so you didn't waste the guy you really wanted. And Dusty Baker actually did send out his guy. I've forgotten who he was managing at the time. I guess it was the Reds. He sent out his guy, which may have been Cueto. And, I think it was. And Cueto went, you know, an inning or two, and then the rain came, and then, you know, it was 2 or 3 hours, and when it returned, yeah, I think they brought out Carpenter, and the Reds didn't have anybody, and the Cardinals wound up winning. It would have been nice to see something like that. If, you know, and if nothing else, if the rain doesn't come, you know, you bring Michael Walker into the middle of the game, or you just let him have the rest. I mean, it's not a bad thing. You know, the Cardinals have talked about limiting his innings, and while he did a little bit of that himself there in the middle of the year, you know, only going three or four, you know, maybe it's something to think about. He's at 125. I don't know. I think it's going to be, his next start's going to be kind of an interesting one too, because, you know, if he can go five, six innings giving up, you know, if he can have, put a quality start up, six innings, three earned runs, I don't think you worry as much about him. But if he does another, you know, four or five runs in four or five innings, then, I mean, yeah, then you start thinking, is he getting shaky? Is he getting to where hitting a wall? And if you're doing that and you're talking about, you know, three-fifths of your rotation being out or ineffective, I mean, you just can't ride it on Carlos Martinez and Lance Lynn. I mean, that's just not, I mean, those guys are good,
yeah,
but they're not good enough to carry a team, when the rest of the team, when the rest of the rotation is struggling.
Yeah, it's scary stuff. I mean, and that's, and I don't feel like our Martinez has been that sharp, you know, in the past month or so. So yeah, it's tough to remain optimistic right now with the pitching woes, start rotation and bullpen and scheduling. And, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of disheartening to say that this could be the breaking point.
Yeah, you know, Zach Gifford asked us on Twitter, before the Friday show, he asked us to give a 1 to 10, how confident we felt on the rotation this year versus and next year as well, with 10 being apocalyptic and apocalyptic, I'm sorry, and 1 being, I guess, rock solid firm. And, I don't remember exactly what you had. I think I was like 5 or 6 for this year, and, well, I might have been 7 for this year and a 5 for next year, because I think some of these things work out. But, is that, where are you on it? I put it down on the record.
Yeah, mine was high. Mine was 9, which I considered nuclear. Just because I think there's so many question marks in the rotation, starting with your Martinez hasn't, we think he's going to be a stud. I'm confident that he's going to be a stud. He hasn't really taken that next step, which is the learning curve, which I'm fine with. You know, Scherzer led the league in home runs for several years, you know, and I still think he's the best pitcher in the game. So I think he's getting there. Walk his shoulder. Wainwright's, you know, wherever he's going to be. Leak hasn't been very good. You know, I wrote a piece on Friday. I stand by it. I still think that you have to take a real hard look at bringing Lynn back. And, what I think they're gonna do, I think that they're gonna let him test the market instead of overplaying their hand now and see what he gets, and actually have the league as an arbitrator to see what else he has, what will be offered to him. So, and then the Cardinals hopefully have the last word on that and say, okay, this is what we can do. You know, instead of offering him 100 now and only needing to offer 75 over 5 years, you know, which is unrealistic. I'm just throwing numbers out there in comparison. But, in to make sure that they're not overpaying on that, and to see where they value someone as to where the league values them. I think they look at bringing in a starter one way or the other. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of Arrieta. For some reason, I've never been the biggest fan of Darvish. And, I mean, he's pitched well in the American League, which usually translates into coming to the American League and pitching well. So it may be worth a look. I think that'd be too expensive. But of the names that could be thrown out, I love Lance Lynn anyway. I don't know. I just think that it's almost a necessity to make him your primary target in the offseason to bring back into the rotation, just because you have so much uncertainty and questions to answer. You know, just like even if Flaherty were to make make his debut this year, probably not next year. You got Reyes, who I would think is an almost certainty to, or he is a certainty. I would say that. Mm-hmm. I think he starts in the bullpen next year.
Right.
You know, Hudson's not relatively close. I mean, he may make it at some point next year. And then Alcantara and Fernandez, I mean, the MLB pipeline has them at 19, and the cardinal way of doing that is to start them in the bullpen, and you're at least a year and a half to look into a rotation. That's a ton of unanswered questions. I know you have Weaver ready to step in, But is that just naturally going to be for Lynn? Are we sure Wainwright's coming back? Are we sure Walker will be back at full strength? And then where are we with Mike Leake? I mean, that's a lot of stuff that, that's a lot of questions to answer for a team that hangs their hat on pitching. And that's Mozeliak, his regime has all been about starting pitching. And I just think that this is the right fit for them. Somebody that's been in the clubhouse, somebody that's respected, somebody that has great numbers. And just like you and I were talking about, you know, some of the baseball card stats look pretty good, but his peripherals in Lynn don't look very well, don't play very well right now. But is that a year out from Tommy John? I mean, he's performed better than I thought he would. That's kind of why I'm on this kick to hopefully see that he's maybe option number one in bringing back. I just think that it answers a lot of questions. I think you know what you're going to get with him, and I think you're going to get a solid two or a solid two or three. And that, you know, that it's going to cost you, and it's going to cost you whoever you get in that role.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not as against it as I used to be. Still not sure that I'm in favor of it, just because, I mean, it really locks down the team. I mean, when you talk about next year, because you're right, there are questions marks, but assuming Adam Wainwright doesn't have some sort of surgery, he's going to be in the rotation next year. Mike Leake's going to be in the rotation next year. Whether he should be or not, that contract won't allow him to be moved, so he's going to have to be in the rotation next year. Carlos Martinez will be in the rotation next year. You know, if Michael Walker is still here, if they don't trade him or something, he's going to be in the rotation next year. And then you've got that one spot. And by the middle of the year, you're going to want Alex Reyes in there. You've got Luke Weaver that's ready to go. You know, you have a guy like Flaherty who, again, probably starts in Memphis. I think there's a lot of options for that fifth spot that you don't have to spend $100 million on. Now, you're right. There's a lot of question marks there. But unfortunately, I think the Cardinals are kind of locked into those question marks. There's not much they can do about them. Now, you know, maybe you get Lynn. And you know, because Adam Wainwright's only got one more year in his contract, maybe that's his last season. You know, that frees up a spot at the next year. But I guess part of me is also a little bit afraid that you're going to get a contract that looks like Mike Leake's. And I think Lance Lynn's better than that. But, I mean, if you're signing him to a five-year deal and he's, you know, has two good years in him and he craps out after, you know, the last three, and then you're paying Leake and him and others, I think you wind up with you run the risk of running into a lot of dead weight, financially, with those. Now, again, there is a pretty good case, as you said, for bringing him back next year. And I'm, like I said, more open to that than I used to be. But, you know, part of me just feels like, they're gonna want, I don't know what they're gonna do. They're gonna get stuck because they really ought to wish that they had a good year this year, a kind of iffy year next year, and then go out and spend money on a Bryce Harper or a Manny Machado. But I don't know that they can wait another year to make that kind of big splashy move, and so they're going to kind of probably price themselves out of that by making some move this year. And maybe that's Lance Lynn. I don't know. Now, another option as we kind of continue to talk about pitching, and another option that has floated on Twitter, is the idea of trading for Justin Verlander. Verlander has pitched a little bit well, fairly well of late. But, you know, he has a contract that's, you know, obviously the rest of this year. It's $28 million next year, it's $28 million the year after that, and then there's an option for 2020, which you probably don't pick up. So you've got him for two more years after this year. You know, again, one, these kind of deals are not easy to make. Two, the Astros have been trying to get him for a month, it feels like. So if they haven't been able to do it, I'm not sure if the Cardinals are going to be able to. But assuming they could, assuming everything lined up, should they go get a Verlander, knowing that they're going to be on the hook for the next 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, it would look great for him to do it, but I think that goes back into the really blocking guys with that situation to get him. I mean, then you would almost be forced to move some of your other, you know, other assets next year. I don't know. I mean, I hate this. Listen, I'm a fan of big moves and fan of somebody to go and say, hey, this is what we're doing. We're going for it, and to go get them. And I think Verlander would pitch well in the National League. I don't know if it's the fact that I think that it's almost impossible to happen that forces me to kind of think, I'm not very excited about it, or if I'm just not very excited about it. I don't know. It would be great. I mean, that would be your, you know, that would kind of, in for the short term, make Martinez your number two. And I say, if you have two big arms, you can win a division series. But, you know, I just don't see it very likely. I haven't from the beginning. I thought if he was going to move, it was before the deadline. And if they wanted him, I figured that they, well, you don't want to take the risk of that waiver and then get stuck with that contract. So that makes sense. But I don't know. You know, it would be exciting. I just don't see it as very likely.
Now, Verlander's walk rate is up. His strikeout rate's down a little bit from last year. It's higher than it was a few years before that. He seems to be having a little bit of a renaissance, and he's pitching the American League. And it feels like to me, I'm not really in favor of it because I'm, again, like you said, you're locking guys down. I mean, that's the end. You're not bringing Lance Lynn back for that. You're not, and you're still kind of trying to juggle around, trying to fit in Luke Weaver, fitting in Alex Reyes at some point in time, filling in Jack Flaherty at the end of the year or maybe the next year. You do have some different issues to work on. But part of me also wonders if it would be like a John Smoltz type of situation where, you know, he gets a chance to come over to the American League, the National League, facing, you know, a little bit nicer lineups and a little bit better ballpark and has a little bit of a renaissance. And again, he's pitched, you know, he was, what, runner-up in the Cy Young last year, and he started off slow this year, but he seems to have pitched better as of late. I think he's only 34. It feels like he should have been around forever. But he's 34. As far as I can tell, just looking at the numbers, he's never had arm injuries. Or at least nothing significant, which of course gets you scared. Because if they haven't had them, then and you trade for them, that's when they're going to have them. But, but I don't know. I mean, again, I don't think it can happen. I don't think that the pieces that the Tigers would want are going to, you know, go through waivers on the Cardinals side. You know, the Tigers do not seem to be in the point of they're just trying to give him away to get rid of salary. Cause again, if that was the case, he'd be in Houston by now. So yeah, I don't see it happening, but it would be interesting. And heck, if you can get Kate Upton in the stands, I guess that's always a good thing too. But
I thought about that today. I was like, I think more people are fired up about that than anything.
Maybe so. I don't know. I know that, you know, Mo's algorithm on Twitter is big Verlander fan, really big on that. I just,
Buffett has joined the crusade on that as well.
Yeah. I mean, there are arguments for it. I think that it's a short-term thing that causes some issues with the future, but, you know, maybe you work around those, and maybe you, like I said, maybe, again, you watch Lance Lynn go, but, you know, maybe it's worth taking that shot and hoping that Verlander gives you at least, you know, a year to a year and a half of good out of the 2+ years that you'd have him. I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm starting to talk myself into it a little bit more than I really was.
And you're right. And that's it. One thing about the differences in bringing him back as opposed to going all in on Lynn, you know what you're going to be paying with Verlander.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not, you don't have the mystery of what you may be paying on Lynn. So, you know, that could be a benefit.
Yeah. And, I'll have to look, but Lynn, I think, isn't he already like 31 now?
I thought he was just now 30.
He's in his 30 season, so you'd be paying for 31, 30, assuming a 5-year contract, you're paying 31, 32, 33, 34, 35. Right now you'd have Verlander for 34, 35, and 36. So it's not, you know, plus you'd have it at the beginning of that, contract, you know, the TV contract. Because it kicks in next year and it know it's graduated, so but you'd have it some of that money there. I don't know. I think it's very interesting. I'm sure that there's been some writing on it that I haven't watched or haven't read yet, but how that would fit out. Again, it doesn't seem like it's really lit, you know, because this is a team that couldn't make a deal before the waiver deadline. It seems unlikely they're going to make some sort of big deal now that there are these other complications involved.
Yeah, and we're both assuming that it's just a takeover the contract type deal, correct?
Well, I mean, like I said, I figure they're asking for some sort of prospects just because otherwise Houston would have done it, I think. I mean, Houston obviously doesn't have the financial resources that the Cardinals do, but and maybe that's the hang-up, is the Tigers want them to pay the whole contract, and Astros want to give them a little bit better prospects for them to pay it. I don't know. And if it's that's the case, and the Cardinals can say, hey, we're going to come in here and pay this contract, then maybe that happens. But with Wainwright going out and Leak just struggling so much, and that bullpen the way it is, it feels like they need some sort of infusion of arms. And for all the talk of pitching depth, a lot of that pitching depth is not ready. And so they may have to go out and do something. I, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about the rotation and the pitchers. You know, right now, I guess the biggest news on offensively is that the Cardinals, after a week, brought Stephen Piscotty back up last night and then activated today, like we referenced earlier, sending down Luke Voit. I mean, I don't know. I think it's a little interesting that, I mean, obviously, you know, Piscotty took to Memphis, and maybe he just needed, maybe this is like you were talking about, that mental break that gets him reset. It's still a little surprising they didn't wait just a little bit longer till those rosters expand to bring him up, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. And that's why I thought the Sierra, the rumored deal of Sierra coming up was made so much more sense, because then you expected that move to be made to where he would just go right back down. Whenever Piscotty, whenever my phone went off yesterday morning that it was Piscotty, I was like, well, he may be listed as the 26th man, but he's not going back.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's that means somebody's about to get sent back down, and that's why the Voit deal didn't surprise me at all. I was like, well, that's obviously who it's going to be, because they don't have any other option. You know, it wasn't going to be a pitcher. It was going to be, you know, it was going to be one of those bats off the bench, which Voit made sense. But, you know, my biggest issue right now with this thing is I don't know who he hasn't – who gets sat in this situation. Because I feel like Grichuk's playing well.
Grichuk has been playing well. But as I spent some time talking to people on Twitter today, you know, Mike Matheny's not sitting Tommy Pham. I know people automatically think,
Yeah.
You know, they're automatically jumping on, you know, to the negative that, oh, he's going to sit Tommy Pham and he's never going to get played. Tommy Pham's hitting 300 with 16 home runs. He's like leading the team in like who knows how many average categories. He's not sitting. And Dexter Fowler's not sitting. So it's gonna have to be some sort of platoon, not a platoon, but some sort of timeshare situation with Grichuk and Piscotty. And, you know, Jose Martinez in there to some degree, although he may play a little bit of first, but I don't think we want to see that. It's not pretty. I mean, that's just gotta be, because you can't, I mean, Tommy Pham may sit a little bit more, but, you know, he played like, I think somebody showed like, you know, 31 to 35 games, you know, or, you know, 33 or 35. You know, he plays a lot. So maybe he'll sit, you know, maybe he'll play 30 of 35 or something like that. He's still going to play a majority of the time.
Yeah, that's, I think we would feel a lot better about this if we had confidence that they were, that the playing time is going to be equal and the lineup's going to be, that everybody will be satisfied with that. Mm-hmm. I'm basically pointing the finger at Matheny. That I don't know if he's the best at these kind of situations.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, I fully expect Piscotty to be in the lineup tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how, and it could be me just being down on Piscotty more than anything. Cause trust me, I would love for him to come back and take off. I was really worried by the end of last year and all of this year. I'm not so certain that's going to happen. And that's what concerns me. I would much rather have the extra base pop that Grichuk has over what Piscotty can bring it right now. And I may be wrong and may look dumb on that, and I would be glad if that were the case. But, you know, I just don't know. I just don't have a lot of confidence that that'll be the situation.
Well, I will say, I mean, and it's small sample size, take it for whatever it's worth, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, Piscotty played 8 games in Memphis, and he hit .313 with an OPS of over 1.2. I mean, he hit 4 home runs in those 8 games. And basically, you know, 6 walks, 7 strikeouts in 32 at bats. I mean, he did everything that you can do in a short period of time. You know, if it was just a mental reset, if it was just a, you know, sit him down, let Badeska, you know, maybe do a little tinker with a swing, whatever. He comes up last night and gets 2 hits, which I think may have been the only Cardinal on the roster that did. I mean, they were two singles, I think. So there's, you know, it's not less like it may not have the pop, but I think that, I think there's a chance that we've got a reinvigorated Piscotty. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, it, again, small sample size. Maybe, you know, he comes out and goes 0 for 15. It could happen. But there's still a decent chance that he got it by, you know, he got fired up. He got down to Memphis. He was there when they clinched the division, you know, with some guys that maybe had a little bit more, you know, fire to him, a little bit different environment. Maybe just recharged him, especially with the situations that he's had this year, not only on the field, but off the field. You know, maybe he just needed that breather. We'll see. And maybe not. I don't know. And you're right. Randall Grichuk's hit, I think, you know, 305 since the All-Star break. He's got some power. We obviously saw him hit, you know, at three home runs after his last time he came, got called up from Memphis. It's a difficult situation to have. And maybe you're right. If we felt more confident in Matheny rotating people in and out, be good. And maybe Dexter Fowler's back is going to be an issue enough that, mm-hmm. you know, that Pham can slip over and they can all play, you know, kind of rotate all four of them. I don't know. But it is what it is right now. I mean, you know, they got five outfielders and basically no backup infielders. So yeah. These guys are going to have to figure out some way to play. And these guys are going to be coming off the bench. And I mean, you know, if Stephen Piscotty comes off the bench, if he's in a right mindset, he's a very valuable thing. A guy that can hit a double. It doesn't have to go all or nothing. But, you know, having Randall Grichuk off the bench is a very good thing. Having Tommy Pham come off the bench is a great thing. So it does make the team better if Piscotty is in line, not necessarily with what he did in Memphis, but in general, that idea that he's a little bit back to normal. And that'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that he'll probably get his, probably get the opportunity to show that he is back. You know, I think he'll play a lot, and it's going to cost Grichuk a lot of playing time. You know, Martinez deal, I think he's a great pinch hitter. So that doesn't really bother me that they saved that weapon. But I think it's going to be tough to keep guys fresh. And, you know, I'm not sure Matheny's the guy that we want handling that, but. You know, we'll see. He'll probably hit in 10 straight games, then need a break, and they'll throw out the Sunday getaway lineup in a must-win game.
Oh, that's very possible.
Yeah, it'll be something like that.
Yeah. Well, and talking about guys that, you know, I mean, you look at Carson Kelly. I mean, Viva had a post up today about why is Carson Kelly still on this roster, and I mean, there's some case to be made. I mean, right now there's no option. I mean, there's nobody else on the 40 man that can go to play catcher. I mean, he, you know, but, you know, why did they bring him, you know, why did they let Eric Fryer go? Fryer wasn't any big loss, don't get me wrong, but it does mean that Carson Kelly has to sit up here. I've been on the bandwagon even some last year, but definitely this year for Carson Kelly. I'd like to see him be a personal catcher for a while. I'd like to see him catch Luke Weaver or, you know, whoever.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah. And, you know, that's something that I didn't consider. And not to cut you off, but that seems to answer two questions. You know, that Weaver is going to get those starts and he's going to have, Kelly, you know, make those starts with him. And that would seem to keep him a little bit more fresh than he is now.
Yeah, and I think you could sell that a little bit more to Yachty too. I mean, if that's the issue, if part of the issue is Yachty doesn't want to get out of the lineup, you can say, look, this is our way of letting Kelly play, letting you get regular rest, and you know when it's coming. You know every fifth day you're gonna get the day off. And, you know, there might be a day or two here and there that Kelly catches as well, you know, a day game after a night game, whatever. But, you know, if that, and nothing else, he would get, you know, basically two starts a week, Carson Kelly would. And that's, you know, so much more than he's getting now. And it seemed like that's what they were doing last year when he got called up, because he caught Mike Leake like a number of times in a row, it felt like. And I thought, okay, that's what they're going to just let him. And then that kind of went by the wayside. And then this year, I mean, he just hasn't gotten a chance to do that. So I would like that, because it would give him a set pattern, a set thing to do. And maybe that's what they'll do when they feel like they've fallen a little bit farther out of it. I mean, I'm sure that it's difficult right now, especially since Yachty's hitting pretty well, to take that bat out of the lineup, when you kind of need every game, that you're playing. But, you know, you gotta do some sort of balancing act. And, you know, you're right. We haven't seen Matheny do a lot of that balancing very well, it doesn't feel like.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of the regulars are playing well. With Grichuk showing a little more pop, it seems like the knee's feeling a little bit better, and he's kind of coming back to where he was earlier in the season. And that's made it difficult for guys to play. But you are right. I do worry about Kelly because I thought he looked overmatched Saturday. Now, you know, I may not be giving the Pirates pitching staff credit, but I worried about that. I was thinking, you know, is he maybe the right answer right now? And is this really slowing development, him setting as much as he is? So, you know, I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah, it feels like, I mean, they got to figure out something because they can't do this again next year. I mean, you know, maybe, you know, right now you just have to ride it and hope that maybe in September they could get Kelly some more starts, but for right now you're just kind of stuck. But you know, they got to figure out something for next year because this, you can't do that again next year. Boy, I had something I was going with and then I forgot it. Oh well, I'm sure it wasn't that important. I don't know what it was. I guess it's just, it's just gone. I don't know. It's had something to do with the offense, I think, but I don't know what it was. So, maybe that's a sign that we need to just, set it aside for right now and wrap this up. Unless you've got, oh, I know what it was. That's right. It was the other Twitter question that we had, last week, is from Cassie, PinkDaisy08, who asked if the winning streak, made the front office less likely to do, big moves, so less likely to make some creative moves on the 40 man, things of that nature. Because the Cardinals, I think what she was getting at is the Cardinals had gotten into first, they had made this run, and so now the front office didn't feel the urgency to do anything because they were winning. I mean, what do you think on that?
Well, I think they've got a game plan about how they're gonna do it, and it's, short of, you know, winning the division and winning a series in the playoffs, that I don't think they're going to deviate from that much. You know, I know that we talked about a lot of roster churn and Gersh has talked about a lot of 40 man roster, flipping and stuff like that. I can see a lot of 40 man roster being turned over. Mm-hmm. I don't think that the big league club is going to look much different. I think they're going to put their foot in the water with some of the free agent sluggers. I think they'll probably try out, I think they're going to look at Martinez. I think they'll look at that direction. You know what? Coming from Friday until now, something is kind of has, I don't, you know what? I'm not so certain that they're going to look at a shortstop. Mm. I think that the young will get a shot next year, and I think Diaz will be back with the club, and they're going to look for him to be that, utility bat that they expected out of DeYoung. I think he's played his way into the 2018 conversation as the starting shortstop, where I probably wouldn't have said that even 48 hours ago. I thought that they may go and try to get a shortstop somewhere. I don't know if people are going to be really, really happy unless there's a big turnover, but I just don't see it. I think they may bring in a bat. I think they may move outfielders basically because they have to, but that may be to make room for other players and to maybe go get another arm. And I think that the target's going to be a bat, and I think the target may be Lance Lynn on the pitching side. I don't know. I think a lot of the 40-man will turn over as far as, just like you and I talked about just a second ago, it may be some of those fringe guys aren't protected on the 40-man to the Rule 5, and then they start graduating some of the younger players toward that. So 40-man, yes. Everyday roster, don't think will be greatly different, but I do think there are going to be additions.
And I feel like they're going to have to do something just because they want to sell tickets for next year. And if they run the same 25 man, even if they say, well, we've got different guy, you know, we got rid of this guy and that's going to, well, if there's basically the same roster that was, you know, underwhelming this year, assuming that they didn't finish, you know, if they finish where we think they're going to finish and miss the playoffs last year, it becomes harder to sell those tickets.
Yeah.
So I do think there'll be something.
I thought Gould, Yeah, I do too. And you know, Gould had a great point. He said the three things that will not change next year is center field and Fowler.
Yep.
It's first with Carpenter and catcher with Molina. He says everybody else could move. And that is pretty telling. And I'd just be curious to see who is safe. But then you look at other markets and you're just wondering, you know, is such and such better than Pham? You know, finally need a shot, or is giving the guys these shots what got them into the situation that they are right now?
I think there should be, I don't disagree with what Derek said, but I also would like to see the Cardinals, you know, look at something, at first. You know, I don't know that you, I mean, that would probably, I mean, if Matt Carpenter's on this roster, he's going to play first base just because defensively he can't play anyplace else. But, you know, his OPS plus this year is significantly down. If he can get it back up to the 136, 135 that he was the last couple of years, it's not as big a deal. But, you know, this year he just doesn't feel, he's pretty much like an average first baseman, I guess is what it boils down to. So, and so many times, first base is where you can get that 40 home run guy. Again, I think that's right. I don't think that those guys are going anywhere. But if a first baseman that, you know, a big slugging first baseman came available, I'd like to see I would like to think the Cardinals wouldn't let that stand in their way if they necessary. You know, if it takes trading Carpenter and somebody else for that guy, you know, whatever. But very likely that's not going to happen. But I feel like, yeah, I feel like there'll be some sort of trade because, you know, they do have so many arms in so many levels and they have so many outfielders. I mean, you know, like I said, they got five right now. That's not counting Harrison Bader. That's not counting guys that are coming up like, Rosarena and, you know, maybe, Jag as Kyle likes to call it, Jose, Aroldis Garcia, you know, other Oscar Mercado, things of that nature, guys that may or may not become big leaguers, but they're going to need to get a shot somewhere. I figure like there's just enough pieces that they're going to have to make some moves, you know, whether they can bundle it all together for one big move or make two or three moves that brings them to them for an idea. I don't know what they're going to be, but I do feel like there'll be at least one or two new starters in the regular, lineup. And I'm surprised Derek Gould didn't mention Colton Wong, because I feel like Colton Wong has played well enough this year that it would take a significant upgrade for them to move him, because he's really finally developing into the player that everybody kind of thought he was going to be.
Yeah, and he may be their best player in the second half. Mm-hmm. You know, he's consistent. So, and, you know, I agree. I'm kind of falling into that trap of, well, maybe some incremental moves will be what's best. And, you know, you do get Urias back and maybe such and such clicks and you do have O'Neill they made a move for and, mm-hmm. you know, and then I tell myself that's exactly what I said about Grichuk and Piscotty.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, 2 years in a row, they haven't been the same team. I mean, I think they ran out of steam in 15 by winning 100 games. Last year, they just didn't seem copacetic at all. And this just kind of seemed the same way. They've kind of come out of it a little bit, but is it them coming out of it or are they being let back in it? You know, I'm just not certain.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there'll be an interesting offseason. There's no doubt about it. And we'll have plenty of things to talk about there. And it will be probably at least somewhat affected by how they finish the season. You know, it's Cassie's question, which is where we started this whole thing. I think getting closer to the front, to first, should have made it more likely they've made radical moves. It didn't. I mean, I, she was kind of referring to, you know, Mike Myers being, as we said, the path of least resistance and coming up, and that was the case. But I think they're more likely, if it did anything, and it may not have done anything, it was more likely to have made them make moves because they were close. And a move, like a Flaherty, like something like that, could have, at least in theory, been that one game that you needed. You know, now that they've slipped back to 3.5, you know, maybe they're less likely to do that. But again, it may not have mattered much at all because, like you said, they've got a plan and they don't want to deviate too much from it because this team is very difficult to say that it's worth deviating from. for a gamble to win the division or maybe a wild card, second wild card spot. And then, you know, if a second wild card, you could be out the first day. If not, you're probably facing, well, you're playing the Nationals, I guess. And while the Cardinals have had some luck against the Nationals in the playoffs, I don't know that you want to, want to bet on that, given how good that team really is. So, I don't know. I don't want to say that the team is complacent because I don't believe that. But I do think they're going to be measured in what they do. They're not going to just dump a whole lot of stuff into the team. It's just, it's probably not going to pay out because they always want to return on their investment. And, you know, right now it's difficult to see what return they would get. So, I don't know. Alrighty. Well, we've done this probably longer than we did it on Friday night now. So, we will cut it short. We'll be with you again, later in the week. You know, most likely we'll have Kyle, doing some minor league talk on Thursday, and then Alan and I will be back Friday, for a short week, but we'll see what this week develops as the Cardinals will have played, the three games against the Padres and then a game against the Rays before we get a chance to sit down and talk. And, you know, maybe we're talking about, you know, four straight wins and a little bit more excitement about this team, or maybe we're talking about, you know, some definitiveness, about this season one way or another. We'll have to see. But for Alan, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!